Today's scripture reading is taken from Psalms 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
Well, when you are introduced to someone for the first time, there are usually three questions, right, that you initially seek to answer. You want to know, what's your name, what do you do, and where are you from? Because the answers to these important questions go a long way in helping us to know a person, to establish some sense of commonality, and therefore allow us to further the conversation with this person. And when you ask somebody where they are from, and that information gives us some idea of the culture, gives us some idea of the context in which they were raised. It gives us some idea because it speaks to their affections and the experiences that shaped them. Because everyone is from somewhere. Isn't that right, Pastor Phil? Everybody is from somewhere. Everyone has a place from which they came. And therefore, place is important. Beloved, place is important in the Bible. In theological studies, there's a discipline called the theology of place. And basically what that means is the study of God and how he relates to his people through the places that he meets them, that he calls them, the places in which he commissions them to know him and to worship him. God relates to people just as much through person as he does through place. You remember the Garden of Eden just as much as you remember Adam and Eve. Because place is important. You remember Moses, but you also remember Mount Sinai. Because place is important. Abraham and Mount Moriah, Joseph and Egypt, Joshua and Jericho, Israel and the wilderness, Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, Jesus marching or walking into Jerusalem. Place is inseparable from a people. Place, beloved, I would suggest to you, is almost as important as people. For place is the story of Revelation. Where did God give the Ten Commandments? On Mount Sinai. Place is the story of redemption. Where did God spare Isaac and provide a ram in his place? On Mount Moriah. It is the story of restoration. Where did God roll the reproach of Egypt away from Israel and restore his people? At Gilgal. Place is the story of rest. Where did God promise his people that they would enter and have rest? In the promised land, in Canaan. Place is the story of reward. Where did Jesus promise the thief he would be on that day? With him in paradise. Place is important. And most of us, if we would just take the time to reflect, most of us remember the important events in our lives because we remember the place that those events took place. Place is important. And as Dorothy reminded us, what did she say? There is no place like home. No place like home. Someone said that home is where the heart is. Home is where our stories begin. I moved to Atlanta 30 years ago from Michigan. Wow, that's a long time. Seems like yesterday. I remember that drive down. I stopped at McDonald's in Chattanooga. And I walked into the McDonald's and I asked for an orange pop. And she said, what? I said, an orange pop. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, an orange drink, an orange pop. She said, you mean an orange soda? And I knew right then I wasn't in Kansas anymore. 30 years ago, I moved from Michigan to Atlanta. And yet still to this day, people will ask me from time to time, when is the last time you've been home? And I'm thinking, I go home every day. But I know what they mean. They mean, when was the last time you've been to the place where you were born? The place where you were raised. When was the last time you've been to your mama's house? Because I will forever be tied to that place. My mother's home will always be my home. Beloved, you do realize this morning that we are not just sheep in God's pasture. But the Bible tells us more intimately in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 that we are sons and daughters, members of the household of God. In other words, we have a home. We have a place. It is God's place. God's people have always been, beloved, and they continue to be pilgrims. They have always been and continue to be sojourners, nomads, traveling through this present sin-filled and sin-sick world. And what the assurance that we have this morning from our text in Psalms 23 and verse 6 is that the shepherd gives his sheep a home. They always have a home. This, again, is David looking beyond the sheepfold this morning. David here is not just talking about sheep out in the pasture. He's talking about his own self being brought in, his soul and his heart being brought in to the home, the house of God. The sheep have a home in the pasture. David said, my place is in the household of God. God's people dwell with God, not just in the pasture, beloved, but they dwell even more so in his house. And Psalm 23 is a beautiful reminder to us of this truth. Psalm 23 begins with a foundational confession. And it ends, beloved, with a faithful consolation In verse 1, David says, because the Lord is my shepherd. And in verse 6, he says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the house of the Lord is his place. The house of the Lord is our place. Now, beloved, there's a lot of things that we could say about the house of the Lord this morning. We can talk about the fact that the house of the Lord is a dwelling place of God. It is, because God promised to be there with the tabernacle of the temple. God promised to dwell in the midst of it. We could talk about the fact that it is a holy place. Because where God is, it is holy. And God dwelt in the holy of holies in the midst of his dwelling place. We could talk about it being a transcendent place. We can talk about it being a literal place. But this morning, our text focuses our attention on two important, and I want to suggest to you, very encouraging and really relevant aspects of the Lord's house that should bring strength and healing to our souls this morning. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have my place. And it is one, an abiding place; two, an everlasting place. Because the Lord is your shepherd, you have a place. It is an abiding place. Notice what the psalmist says in verse 6. I shall dwell in the house. Dwell. I shall dwell in the house. That's the emphasis there this morning, beloved. To dwell means literally to abide, to be settled, to continue in, to remain. The saint of God has a home, a place in which to dwell, to remain. They have a place from which they never have to move. Before my wife and I bought our home here in East Point in 2008, we lived in 7 different places. For the first 15 years of our marriage, we lived in 7 different homes. Each one of them was a rental. And so therefore, no matter how long we were there, we knew it was temporary. We had no abiding place. One of them, beloved, was even sold out from under us while we were living in it. No place, no abiding place, no place we knew we would remain. Beloved, the house of the Lord is not a rental property. It is a place of permanent residence. It is an abiding place. It is an abiding place because God is an abiding God. God dwells with those who dwell with him. This is the promise. This is the promise. You dwell in the house where the Lord dwells. And as long as the Lord dwells, you dwell. As long as the Lord abides, you abide. As long as the Lord remains, you remain. This is what he told Israel in Exodus chapter 29, verse 25, when God commanded Israel to build the tabernacle. 29:45, in the wilderness, he said, I will dwell among the people of Israel, and I will be their God. That was the whole point of building the tabernacle, so that they could see that the Lord dwells in the midst of them. And this is what the Bible tells us all the way to Revelation, right? In Revelation 21 and verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. When Jesus came into the world, beloved, the Bible tells us in Matthew 1 and 23 that they called him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Christ came to dwell, came as the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God. And all who abide in Christ have Christ abiding, remaining, dwelling in them. This is the fruitful life. This is the faithful life, right? John chapter 15 and verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. As long as the Lord abides, we abide. As long as the Lord remains, we remain. And as the Lord remains and dwells with us, that results in the faithful, fruitful life of the Christian. We have our place because we dwell in God's house and Christ, our shepherd, dwells in us. So, beloved, you don't rent a dwelling in Jesus. You can't be removed. You can't be evicted from Christ. Christ won't get sold out from under you. When you come to Christ, you come into his house. It is an abiding house. It is not a hotel that you check in and you check out. But rather, it is an everlasting place. An everlasting place. And that's what David says, right? I shall dwell, verse 6 again, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How long? Forever. Forever, beloved, forever. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. Houses rise and houses fall. The Egyptians gave way to the Assyrians. The Assyrians gave way to the Babylonians. The Babylonians gave way to the Persians. The Persians gave way to the Greeks. The Greeks gave way to the Romans. And so on and so on and so on. Beloved, only one kingdom is everlasting. Only one house stands forever. It's the house of God. It's the kingdom of God. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, how great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. Those who abide or dwell in the Lord's house dwell in an everlasting place. An everlasting place. And this is their hope. Beloved, this is their desire. There is nothing that the child of God desires more than to be home. Nothing. They say home is the place that you can't wait to leave and the place that you can't wait to go back to. I have felt those affections. Couldn't wait to get out the house. And it wasn't long before I couldn't wait to get back home. You know what David says in Psalm 27, verse 4? Only one thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Why? Because, beloved, for the child of God, there really is no place like home. Because there is no place like Christ. And when you come into the house of the Lord, and there you encounter Christ, you don't want to leave. Beloved, think about this. What makes this place worth dwelling for all eternity? The thing that makes it worth dwelling for all eternity is the fact that Jesus is there. Jesus. Jesus. You read John chapter 14 and verse 1 when Jesus says, you know, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. And he promises that he is going there to prepare a place for us. You know what makes the place so wonderful? You know what makes the place so glorious? It's not, beloved, that you're going to have your own room. What makes it so glorious is what Jesus says in verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. What makes it wonderful is Jesus is there. What makes it glorious is that our shepherd is taking his sheep out of the pasture. He's bringing them in the house to dwell with him forever. I've had the privilege and sometimes responsibility of traveling quite a bit. But beloved, I can say to you with all my heart and sincerity that my favorite place to be is home. And whenever I go away, my favorite time being away is when I can finally say, I'm going home. I'm going home. Isn't that what the songwriter says? They say heaven's pretty and living here is too. But if they said I have to choose between the two, and I'm going home. I'm going home where I belong. I'm going home. And while I'm here, I'll serve him gladly. And I'll sing all these songs. But though I'm here, it's not for long. Because I'm going home. I'm going home where I belong. Because that's where Christ is. And that's where I long to be. But that's our place. That's your place. That's my place. That is my place. That is your place in the household of the Lord. In the abiding place where there is the presence of God. This current world that we live in, beloved, is a wilderness. And if 2020 has taught us anything, it should be a reminder that our hope and our home is not in this world. We are but temporary citizens passing through this wilderness. That's what Hebrews 13 and 14 says, "For this world is not our permanent home." Hello! This world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Now, with that in mind, we want to be good temporary citizens. We want to be faithful temporary citizens. We want to be caring, loving temporary citizens. Let it never be said that you don't care what happens in this world. We do care. We care about those who are afflicted. We care about those who are addicted. We care about those in poverty. We care for those in prison. We care about justice. We care about peace. We are citizens. But let us never forget or lose sight of the reality, beloved, that we are temporary citizens. We are born here to leave this place. So while we care, be careful that you don't care too much. This world, as we know it, beloved, is not our home. This world, as we know it, is not our hope. And this week of all weeks should remind us of that, that we are not permanent residents. It's like the White House, beloved. Nobody is a permanent resident in the White House. The White House doesn't belong to Donald Trump any more than it belonged to Barack Obama. Sooner or later, you have to go. And guess what, beloved? In this world, sooner or later, we have to go. That's why you don't make too much of it. People, this world over, beloved, are looking and hoping for revolution. And you know why? Because revolution is the best the world can offer. But our hope is not revolution. Our hope is revelation. We long and look, as the Bible says in Titus 2 and 13, for the blessed appearing of our hope, our God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our hope. Not revolution. Revelation. And when he comes with trumpet sound, oh, beloved, may you then and him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. And his righteousness, beloved, is not a political righteousness. His righteousness, beloved, is not your own personal righteousness. But his righteousness, beloved, is the permanent, precious, eternal righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ himself. Dressed in that righteousness alone. And therefore, you'll be able to faultlessly stand before the throne. In Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground and sinking sand. This is the hope of the Christian. Beloved, it's the return of Jesus. And all those who have this hope, and the Bible says, they look and they long and they live him. What is your hope this morning? What is your longing for this morning? How tied are you to this world? Or are you looking to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Are you longing to go home? Oh, beloved, I pray that there's not a soul in here today that is not looking and longing for Jesus. The Lord has come. He has come so that we might have a way into the household of God. And when he comes again, he's taking all those to dwell in his house forever. Will that be you this morning? Will that be you this morning? Oh, I pray. And we're going to pray this morning. I pray. And there's no one here who is not confident that they are a member of the household of God. You come into the household of God by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Believing that he is Lord. Believing that he is Savior. Trusting that he is shepherd of your soul. He is not only willing, but he is able to save all those who come unto him by faith. And if you have any doubts, you can come this morning. You can come. 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 Let's pray.